Martin Luther King Jr. was a dreamer. He was a visionary who could see past his present circumstances and envision a new reality. Amen. King had a wonderful dream, but not everyone could see his dream. Not everyone could see it. For those who would not or could not see it, that dream will never come to reality. But for those who can dream with the dreamer, somebody say dream with the dreamer.
Dream with the dreamer.
We can look around today and see that King's dream is approaching, coming to reality. It's not here yet.
Amen.
It's not here yet, but it is approaching a new reality. This morning, I came by today to tell you that I too have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream of what this community of God's people will be. Y'all didn't hear the will be, right? I have a dream that one day God will use this body of believers as a portal by which to draw hundreds and hundreds into his kingdom. I have a dream that one day thousands from every nation, tribe, and tongue will come together under the banner of Christ and worship God in unity. I have a dream that we will one day truly be a community of God.
Amen.
I'm thankful today that I have another opportunity to proclaim that the Lord is the
true God. He is the living God. He is the everlasting King.
Let's do that one more time. The Lord is the
true God. He is the living God. And he is the everlasting King.
Everybody, would you turn with me this morning to Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. When you find a place, would you stand and show honor to the reading of God's word? Hear the word of the Lord. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. For all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this, that he who begun a good work in you, he who began something in you will carry it to completion until the day Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, sanctify these your people in the truth, for set them apart to yourself and mold and make and shape them in the truth, and your word is truth.
Go ahead.
Yes, we've been focusing all this beginning of this year, and that's going to be our focus for the whole year, on the theme of breakthrough. The theme of breakthrough, breaking through the barriers that hinder us from realizing a different reality. Breaking through those barriers. And this morning, I want you to know that one of the penetrating factors that enables us to get to the other side of our barriers is to have a vision of what's on the other side. Did that make sense?
Yes.
One of the factors that help us get through the barrier is kind of knowing what's on the other side. So today, in keeping with our theme, I want to speak to you this morning about vision, about dreams. About anybody got any dreams?
Yeah.
You got any dreams, stuff you've been just dreaming about? You know, I once was young.
Same.
And now I'm older.
Yeah.
But I still got some dreams. I've got some dreams, and my dreams have changed over the years, but I still got some dreams. Now, this morning I'm going to talk primarily about the vision for New Community Church, but please, 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 as I've asked each and every one of you from the beginning of this year to all come to think about some areas in your life where you're looking for a breakthrough, right? Everybody remember that? And I hope everybody is looking for some breakthrough in some part of your life. You know, I'm working on mine very hard, and it's very difficult. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to say it's very difficult for me. But I'm working on it, and there's some things that I'm doing. I'm getting ahead of myself. But these principles, these precepts, these concepts that I'm talking about are just not for the church. They're for each and every one of us individually. So think of it that way as we're going through what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, many of you have heard me use the old proverb before that says, if you don't know where you're going to, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And my question this morning is, do we know where we're going to? Do we know where we are going to? Do we know what the end will be? Now, I ask this question because it seems to me that some of us are living like we're more focused on where we are than where we're going. I'm not just talking about the church. Now, you don't have to say amen. You can say, let me just look there. We're more focused on where we are than where we're going. And we're living like this is it. This is it. I got news for you. This ain't it. Yeah. This is a long way from, are y'all hearing me? Yeah. This is a long way from being it. This life is just a vapor. And I wasn't even planning on going there. But this ain't it.
Amen.
I got news for you. I got news for you. This ain't it. It ain't even close to being. Listen, for the dream, for the vision that God has given New Community Church, for the vision that God has given each and every one of us to come to reality, we have to know where we are going. You got to know where you're going. You can't just be like, I'm waiting for my ship to come in, and you ain't sent a ship out. You just sitting there waiting for the sea. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have to have a clear picture in our mind of what God is showing us on the other side of the barrier. What is God leading me to? What is God pushing me toward? What is that desire in my heart that I just can't let go of? Am I by myself this morning? What's in me that keeps coming back up in me that I can't let, that's God. I want to let you know right now. That is God. We have to believe what's on the other side of the barrier and then believe we can get to that. And then, by the way, we got to do something. Yes. Did you hear what I said? So I'm doing something right now to get to my breakthrough. And it's not comfortable. Are you hearing me? You've got to do something. We got to start moving toward, you just can't say, ooh, boy, I can so see it and just sit back and just so see it. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
We've got to do something. The vision that God has given the community is to be an ever-expanding community of all people worshiping God in unity. Now, I realize that not everyone can see that. That not everyone can envision that. Because I'm like, wait a minute. It just don't seem like that's happening. I understand everybody can't, but you know, there's a whole lot going on that we can't see. That's way more than what we can see. I realize people can't see that. I know that there are some of us who can't get past our present circumstances and envision a new reality. I can't get past where I'm at. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can't get past that and envision a new reality. And let me just be real. Please hear this. Most of us, the truth be told, most of us are caught up in the past, the way things used to be. I remember when it used to be like, are y'all hearing me?
Now,
most of us are caught up in the good old days, and few of us can see past the present. Can you just leave stuff alone? Why you always gotta mess with stuff? We're fine. Help me, Holy Ghost. Just where we are. Just leave me alone. We cannot get past. But here's the thing. Each of us must see into the future and thus help create it if we are to be successful in getting our breakthrough. You've got to see into the future and then do something to create your future. Don't just sit there and see something and don't do nothing about it. Oh, God is going to do that. God told you to do something. We have to do that to create, to get our breakthrough. Again, our vision is an ever-expanding community of all people worshiping God in unity. And before the vision, the dream can become reality, we have to be able to see it in our minds. We have to believe it in our hearts. And then we got to start to do something.
Amen.
You can believe it all. You can see it. You can believe it. And you can sit on your Thursday morning. And nothing's going to happen. We have to do something about it. But there's also one more thing that we have to do to see our breakthrough. And that is, we have to be on the lookout for dream busters. Mm. Got to be on the lookout for dream busters. Now, if you've ever had a dream, and how many of y'all, you've had a dream? Raise your hand. If you ever had a dream, you know that there are all kinds of dream busters out there. You know what I'm talking about. You have, first of all, the naysayers. You know, the ones that say, they have the same answer for everything. Oh, that'll never work. You know, you're in the same as, I don't care, everybody got one in their family. Oh, that ain't never work. But you know what I found interesting about the naysayers? Is they the first one to say, ooh, look what we did. When it came. All right, here we say, ooh, look what we did. Then you have the saboteurs, always trying to throw a monkey wrench in something because they don't want to change. They don't have a dream and they can't stand it that you got one. I call them haters.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a new car. Oh, you think you somebody now. You hear what I'm saying? You got the saboteurs that don't have nothing, don't want nothing, don't want you to have nothing. Now, these are just a couple. I'm not going to go into the outside because I really want to focus on the internal dream busters. There's some internal that we need to watch out for if we're going to see our breakthrough. The internal ones are a lot more dangerous because they're insidious. They eat away slowly at your dream until one morning you wake up and your dream is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened to that thing, that fire that I had, that desire that I had? And then I woke up one morning and be like, just roll on back over. Mm-hmm. Your dream is gone. And the first one that we want to look at this morning is focus. A loss of focus will kill your dream. You know, I got to be careful how I say this. I was counseling a young woman the other day. And, you know, when I go through counseling, I have this process that I go through. And every time I would ask her a question, she would go down this rabbit hole about 15 miles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I couldn't get to nothing because she couldn't stay focused on the thing. She came in for grief counseling, but she wanted to talk about everything but grief. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A loss of focus will kill your dream. You know, I've shared in the past. Now, stay with me with this, because this is going to seem like I'm going off, but stay with me just for a minute. I've shared with you in the past how Western Christendom, has for the most part become a commodity, okay? And many believers have become consumers, shoppers of religious goods and services. And there's a young man that I've met briefly, and Denise knows about him, Irwin McManus. He has a church that's exploding, just exploding with new converts to the faith. One of the things he says is that the reason that they're so good at bringing people to Christ is they stay focused. They stay focused. Everything that they do is about reaching for those who are being sought by Christ. And I'm going to talk about that another day. Being sought by Christ. We think we're looking for Christ. Christ is looking for you.
Amen. Amen.
Being sought by Christ. McManus wrote a book called, and I love this book. I've read it. I'm going to read it again. It says, it's an unstoppable force, daring to become the church that God had in mind. And in this book, I found a very interesting quote. He says this. He says, we're looking for a church that meets our needs. We're looking for a church that meets, end quote. He says, I've heard that a thousand times. People coming to me, you know, tell me about what your church can offer me. Yeah. I'm looking for a church that meets our needs. He says, the phenomenon of church shoppers has profoundly shaped the contemporary church. The entire conversation is not about being relevant, but it's about convenience. He says that the focus is not on serving the world, but the church itself has become the focus. Since our model degenerated from we are the church here to serve a lost and broken world to what has the church, what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. What does the church have to offer me? He says, this move, he says, has made the pastor the only minister and the members the only recipients to the ministry. Mm-hmm. Now, that's pretty deep right there if you think about it. Yeah. And what is lost, he says, and he stole this from me, is an army of healers touching the world. Mm-hmm. An army of healers touching the planet. Basically what he's saying is that in many cases we, the church, have lost our focus. We, the individuals, have lost our focus. God told you to do this and you're doing everything but that because this is hard.
Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I know that's good.
He told you to do this, but we lost our focus. Listen, thousands of churches and thousands of locations convene every day for the wrong purpose, and that is for entertainment. Ooh, what song they gonna sing today? You know, is the pastor gonna tell something funny, or is he just gonna make me mad? You know, we're looking for entertainment as opposed to seeking and expecting to enter into the presence of God. Many come looking to be fed by the pastor, and guess what? That's okay to a point. It is my job as the under shepherd to feed the flock and to lead you to green pastures and untainted waters, to ensure that you have a safe and healthy diet. It is the shepherd's job to cradle the young lambs in his arms and bottle feed them and be there for those who have been abandoned and take care of them. But there comes a time, help me, Holy Ghost. There comes a time when the babies need to grow up. Yeah, if you even watch little babies, there comes a time you feed them. After a while, they say, I can hold this by myself. There comes a time when you got to learn to feed yourself and then learn to feed somebody else. I know I'm preaching good now. You can't stay in your mama's arms, in the pastor's arms all day long waiting for me to buy. There's a Bible you can read. If you can, I can get you some help. There comes a time when you got to learn to feed yourself. Life transformation means that you need to somewhere down the line transform. Not stay in the same place. We can't become stagnant. We cannot become stagnant. Stagnation is a sign of a loss of focus. And if you've ever been around stagnant water, you'll find it what? It stinks.
It has mosquitoes.
And it bites. It stinks and bites. Make no mistake about it. God has left the church in the world to serve the world. Not hide behind the citadels of the gathering hall, getting fat on the word for lack of activity. I know that's good too. Getting fat because of lack of activity. But we are here to put the word into action.
Amen.
Look at what Jesus said to the church about it. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, but if the salt, you are salt, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown on and walked on. You ever feel like the church is being walked on today? Perhaps it's because we lost our saltiness. If the salt, if it is no good but to be walked and to be trampled on by men. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. And as most of you know, salt is vitally important to everything in life. Salt, you can't live without salt. Amen?
Amen.
You'd be like, the doctor told me to back off the salt. That's fine. I didn't say overdo the salt. I just said you can't live without salt. You have to have it as part of something our bodies need. Salt has many qualities. It preserves, it purifies, it seasons, it fertilizes. Salt in scripture is used as a metaphor for wisdom. As well, it is used also as sacrifice, and it's also used as a sign of covenant. People would trade salt back and forth to seal a covenant. Are y'all hearing me? It was used as covenant. And just as salt is vitally necessary for everyday life, the church, us, is vitally necessary to the world. We are the salt of the world. The church preserves, it purifies, it seasons, it fertilizes, it brings wisdom. And yes, we are called to sacrifice for the world. But not only that, The church is to witness, a witness to the new covenant that we have with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's that salt that we have. But if we lose our focus, then Jesus says, you know, you ain't good for nothing but to be walked on. And the church is being walked on all over the world today. Church, I believe we individually, and I think I need to take a critical look at myself and determine if I am a producer or a consumer. Mm-hmm. Am I a producer or a consumer? We've become, we, the church, have become so wrapped up in providing products for consumer-minded believers that we have lost our focus. We have lost our focus. When you are out there thinking about your breakthrough and you're not getting anywhere close to it, you need to back up and say, have I lost my focus? Now, not only is the loss of focus a dream buster, but there is something else that kills your dream very fast, and that is a lack of activity. Mm-hmm. A lack of activity. Listen, you can have the greatest dream in the world. Oh man, I can see it. I can't wait to see it come to reality. But if you ain't doing nothing, it's just that, just a dream. It is just a dream, and you'll never see your breakthrough. Now, we have the perfect barometer to determine. We have the perfect barometer in measuring our activity. All we have to do is look at our fruit. I'm gonna let that sink in for a minute. You've got the perfect barometer, look at your fruit. One of the things we, the church, must constantly ask ourselves is, are we producing fruit? How many in the community of God, how much has the community expanded because of us? How many have been preserved from hell because of us? How many have been purified because of us? How many have been seasoned and fertilized with the Holy Spirit because of our witness to the world? How many of you have witnessed to somebody? Now, I'm going to sidetrack this real quick, and just give me a minute to stay with this. When I say witness, I'm not just talking about your words, okay? Mm-hmm. To witness means that we live incarnationally in the word, in the world, which means that we have to embody the gospel. We have to embody. Where am I going with this? Paul, writing to the Romans, says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and forget about your selfish desires, your selfish sins. He says to the Philippians, conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got a question for you. How many of us are conducting ourselves in a way that's worthy of being called a follower of Jesus Christ? That's important to keep in mind. You know, a lot of us get upset these days when we hear the people trampling on the church. We get upset. They look out. They don't want to hear what we got. We just trying to tell them the good news. Well, I got a question for you. Could it be that they can't hear what we're saying for seeing what we're doing? Mm-hmm. Or seeing what we're not doing? Yeah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Could it be that they can't? Yeah, you come talking that Jesus stuff. Well, let me get off. We must embody the gospel and live it out so the world can, somebody say, see our good work, so they can see what you do. You embody, your witness is your embodiment, so what you do. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus said this, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and that light gives light to the whole house. In the same way, Jesus said, let your light shine. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds, yeah. That they may see you doing something and praise your Father. Here's the deal. I believe that so many of us in the church today have become so comfort-minded, so me-minded, we become so comfortable and me-minded that we've forgotten what service to the world looks like. So we do nothing. Or worse yet, we start out strong and then we give up and then we don't reap anything, we lose our benefits and then our breakthrough, and then we just get sad and we don't do anything else. Look at what Paul says to the Galatians church about that. He says, let us not become weary in what?
Doing good.
Doing good. well, I did this and I did that, it didn't change anything. People, I've been doing this and I've been faithful all my life, Lord, and I've been, and nothing has changed. Y'all remember last week? Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe you don't. Yeah. Don't get weary in doing good. Why? Why? At the proper time, in God's time.
Amen.
In God's time, you will reap your harvest. Well, wait a minute. This don't look like it's going down the train like I want to. Remember what I said last week? God is moving and shifting and manipulating things behind the scenes to put things in the way he wants to. You don't know who he's working with out there, around there, that's already. I got a guy called me this week, said, somebody just sent a donation to your church. How do I get it to you? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
God is doing stuff all behind the church and doing all kinds of stuff. We don't know. We're looking at the physical, and God is working big time in the spiritual. Are you hearing me? God says, in my time, you're going to reap the harvest. If you don't what? Give up. Let me say it again. A dream, a vision is just that unless we do something to bring it to reality. I'm talking too much today. I'm going to finish this up. In other words, we must put feet to our faith. Now, I know somebody sitting here that was in the business meeting and said, well, wait a minute, we ain't got the budget for that. We ain't got the budget to be doing all this stuff and reaching out to people. Well, let me ask you a question. How much does it cost to rake somebody's yard? How much does it cost to watch somebody's child while they go out looking for him? How much does it cost to invite your neighbor over on a rainy Saturday to have a bowl of chili when you know you're going to sit there and eat chili and drink beer anyway? How much does that cost? Let me tell you something. People are a lot more inclined to hear what we say if what we do lines up with what we're saying.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that was real good. Yeah. They're a lot more inclined to hear what you're saying if what you're doing lines up with what you're saying. You know, my neighbor loved me. Because every time I barbecue, I'm like, he'd be like, what you got today? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I took him I made some beef ribs. That man's still like, when you gonna make them ribs again? People are more inclined to hear what they watch when we're on our way out to church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They watch, they can see the signs in my garage when the door's open, the signs are right there. They know what's going on. But they're more inclined to listen,
yes, Lord,
when they can see. And that's both sides. The other neighbor, that's another story. No, she loves the Lord. Oh, trust me. She's trying to get me to get her husband over here. She's like, please talk to him. Please talk to him. So, but yes, they're more inclined if they can see what we're doing. Now, I know that we are all busy. I know we work. We got kids. We got projects. And I understand that. But you know, one of the things I've always discovered, now somebody just say, not me, but you know, so we always seem to be able to find the money and the time to do what we really want to do.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
The game's coming on when? You know, we're a little short on that. We'll hold some tickets. How much did they cost? We can always find the money and the time to do what we really want to do. Embodying the gospel, okay, let me just stick to the script. I'm done. Okay. Embodying the gospel will produce a harvest and expand the kingdom. Jesus said, let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and praise your God in heaven. In other words, do something. Too many dreams are broken because of inactivity. The last internal dream buster that I want you to look at this morning. Again, I hope you're processing all this through the stuff that you're looking for your breakthrough with. This one's probably the most insidious because, well, its name is fear. Fear. Fear of what may oppose us has broken more dreams than every other category put together. Fear. Let's look again at what Paul says in our text. Look at what it says. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you, and I make my requests with a heart full of joy because you have been my partners in expanding the good news about Christ from the beginning until now. Wait a minute, what in the world does that have to do with anything you're talking about? What in the world, how in the world does this all line up with what you're talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, to get the full impact of what Paul is saying here, you have to know what was going on in Philippi at the time. Philippi was a Roman colony and whose citizens worshiped Caesar. Caesar was their Lord and Savior. The Philippian church was attacked all the time on every side. This church in the middle of this Roman place that worshiped Caesar, this church, can you imagine this little church in the middle being surrounded by all of these people who were dogging them every day? Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. These people were there and they were attacked, first of all, for refusing to acknowledge Caesar as Lord, and second, they had nerve enough to go around town and proclaim Jesus as Christ.
Amen.
They had the nerve in the middle of all of this to say, Jesus is Lord. And Paul says, you know what? Paul says, you've been my partner in spreading the gospel from the time you first heard it to now. They continued to spread the gospel in the face of all of this opposition. Were they afraid? Absolutely they were afraid, but they didn't allow their fear to stop them from witnessing Christ in the midst of a hostile and pagan environment. Hold on to that for a minute. What a difference it is from the church today. Today, when we start to, somebody encroaches on our comfort, we don't want to play. I ain't going on that side of the town. You must be out your mind. We don't want to play. Whenever things get a little bit uncomfortable, we go into hiding, and then we wonder why we can't get our breakthrough. I can't think of this pastor's name. He's right in the straight middle of the ghetto. I can't think of his name. Right in the straight middle of the guns and shooting and gangs and everything, and his church is exploding. Mm-hmm. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not with just gang members, but people all over Hollywood. He's got Mercedes and a lady with a cart that she's pushing that's homeless in the same church. Are y'all hearing me? Because he ain't afraid to embrace. Oh, that's good. That's his name that will come to me. Whenever things get, we wonder why we can't get our breakthrough, because we want to go high. It seems to me that if we really understood what Christ did for us, we wouldn't hesitate to want to tell us. If we really understood what Christ did for us, we would want to tell somebody what he did. We would want to tell somebody no matter what the opposition. Listen, Jesus saved you, talking to you. I'm not mad at you. He is saving you. And he will save.
Amen.
Amen.
So what you afraid of? You hear that? Mm. He saved you. He is saving you. And he will save you. Look again at what the text says. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us, right, this messes me up, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. If God started something good in you, good, man. Paul said, I'm confident that the one who saved you is saving you and will save you. Yes. And guess what? So just keep on working, because he's going to bring it to completion.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's good news. We ought to want to tell somebody about it. But too many of us allow fear to slowly erode away our courage until paralysis sets in. Fear causes us to hide, to retreat behind the walls of the gathering place instead of injecting ourselves into the culture. And we retreat from the culture. My daughter, Lauren, she lives in Seattle. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but she was into poetry. And she was really into poetry. And she would go to these nightclubs that the hipster clubs,
you know,
they would do the spoken word, right? And they, you know, when they liked your poem, they would go like this, right? And she, you know, they had competitions where you would get up and you would do a poem, and they had judges, and they would judge your poem, and everybody brought two poems, and she did this one, and it was about her faith. Now think about this club. Most people in there, they won't hear nothing about nobody's Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's just about her faith, and the judges like gave her a horrible score. Mm-hmm. And you know what the people in the crowd did? They loved it.
Mm-hmm.
She injected, are y'all hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
She injected herself into the culture, and the crowd went crazy, and the judges was like, oh, well, we thought y'all wouldn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the next point she got up, they all just lost it. The point I'm trying to get you to see here is that she didn't allow fear to get in the way of her faith. Bottom line is fear will kill your dream. Martin Luther King was a dreamer, a man of vision. And though he was opposed on all sides, he was beaten and he was in prison and eventually lost his life because of his beliefs. He didn't allow fear to stop him because he was driven by a God-given vision of justice and freedom. Church, we cannot allow fear to bust our dreams. We must walk boldly into the vision that God has given us and stop cowering behind the walls of the church. New community, I have a dream. Of an ever-expanding community of all people, every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every race, every ethnicity, every culture. Because that's what the Bible says it's going to be when it's all said and done. Read your Bible. Revelation 7:14, if you want to go home and study. I looked and there was people from every tribe, nation, and tongue worshiping. That one day we will break out from behind the walls of the gathering place and live the kingdom of God to the world. I have a dream that we will strip off the shackles of lost focus and inactivity and fear and walk boldly in the confidence of the vision that God has given us. I have a dream of an army of healers touching the planet. I have a dream that this is the year we're going to get our breakthrough.
Amen.
This is the year we're going to get our breakthrough. And so this morning, I'm done. I went over. I'm hoping that there's somebody listening to me who will dream with the dreamer. Mm-hmm. Hoping somebody can hear me and will dream with the dreamer and walk boldly into a new reality by pushing aside the dream busters. Dream busters. I have to. God bless you.